Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now, you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain from the.
All right. Hey, now it's a Brace for Impact, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm going solo on that ass, but it's still the same. We're talking TNA wrestling. You guys got a little taste of the Mike and JD show intro with and we kicked over to Brace for Impact. That's because this was supposed to be the Mike and JD show, and I'll give you a little backstory. So, JD and I had talked about doing a Bound for Glory post show. And that was the plan. Like, we were going to go live after Bound for Glory, but I knew that it was going to just go really late. And it did. It started at 7 and it went till 11. Originally I thought it was going to go to midnight. So that when I made the decision, I thought, I was like, oh man, it's going to probably go to midnight. But they started at 7 and it went to 11. And I thought that, I was like, oh man, it's going to go to 11. I'm probably not going to get on the air to like 11:15, maybe 11:30. And then I'm not going to be done till 12:30, maybe even 1 a.m. And then I got to wind myself down. And I was like, I just can't. I'm too old. I can't do it. Like, if I didn't have to get up in the morning, I could have made that happen. But, you know, I got up at like a little after 5 this morning. So, I was like, there's no way I'd be useless. And I'm actually working from home today. So swig a Starbucks for the working man. But I want to hear your guys' thoughts. I did post a link out there in the chat. So if you're in the chat, say what's up. And then I'm going to post it on Twitter. I'm going to post it on Twitter right now as we start to gather more people. I know it's only 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm sure people on the West Coast are asleep. People in Hawaii are definitely asleep. People on the East Coast are just now getting in their lunch breaks. But I decided to go ahead and take some calls. I got a lot of thoughts on this Bound for Glory show, and I know that's why you guys are here. I think if you came here to hear me crash out and yell and curse and scream, that probably would have happened last night, but unfortunately I slept on it. So I do have a lot to talk about, but I do got Gerard here in the green room. I hope Gerard's still there. His thing is there. Hold on. Let me get to Gerard here. Gerard, are you there?
I'm here, buddy. What's up?
What's up? So Gerard from abodyslam.net, big new distribution deal, Gerard. A couple of things for you. Since I got you here, man, let's talk about the news that didn't happen that I feel like you and I have been covering this story longer than everybody. Like, we've been on it since day one, since Len Asper made his tweet about a big new distribution deal back in 2021. What are your thoughts on them not announcing the TNA TV deal? And when can we expect that to happen? Do you think the deal is done? Like, what are we thinking here?
Yeah, I know. It was funny because I actually thought that tweet was longer, like a longer amount of time ago. I know you pulled it up the other day and it was from like 2021. I thought it was back from like 2019. But either way, it's been too long. It seems like we finally have somebody competent enough to pull it off now. So, and you and I kind of talked about this in the chat earlier, but you know, the way that they normally do business, and I think you were the one that pointed this out, is like nobody ever announces stuff on TV anymore, right? So like, you know, even Carlos saying Bound for Glory was the goal, like that wasn't going to happen. It'll be like, you know, it'll be Sports Illustrated. It'll be all these different big outlets that'll just drop it at the same time. And they'll hopefully have all the details on it and all that stuff so that we can cover it. But
yeah, you know, that's my thing. Like, and I think BQ pointed this out on his show. Right. And honestly, we should know better. So here's what we did. We created an expectation that this was going to be announced at Bound for Glory. TNA never said it was going to be announced at Bound for Glory. No one from TNA ever even hinted that it would be announced at Bound for Glory, but yet we were talking about it. Like, that makes sense. Like, that would be the day. And cause they got all of the eyes are on them. Like, the media is all going to be paying attention to them. They got their own night. Like, we just said that would make sense. But when it doesn't happen, we get mad. I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like that's unfair to TNA.
I wouldn't get mad
at them for an expectation that they never really agreed to.
I wouldn't completely say that nobody put Bound for Glory out there, because Carlos had said it a few times. He didn't say it was for sure happening there, but he did say that's the goal, was to get something announced at that time or around that time.
Yeah, I don't think he ever said to be announced like on the show, but he gave the time window whenever he was on Ariel's show, and that time window like pointed, it was like a big red arrow pointing at Bound for Glory, but I don't think he ever explicitly said, hey, so we're going to have this announcement on Bound for Glory.
There was one. He never said it was coming on Bound for Glory, but like, he threw Bound for Glory out there. One of the ones was Sports Illustrated that he did with John Elba. Okay. And he like specifically mentioned Bound for Glory. So,
yeah. So
that's where some of that came from. But, you know, like you said, like even Tony, when he bought ROH, he did that on TV, but that didn't go anywhere because it's not on TV. That's his own thing. But like even AEW and WBD, when they announced their new media rights deal, it was all through press releases.
Yeah.
When Access TV was acquired by Anthem, it was just dropped on a press release at like 5 o'clock on a fucking Monday night or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when every WWE TV deal that gets announced, it's always announced through a press release, and it gets picked up by one of the periodicals first, like whichever one's playing ball at the time. Like, you know, your Varieties, Hollywood Reporter. But for TNA, I could see them just giving it to Alba, you know, Sports Illustrated. They got a friendly relationship with him.
Sports Business Journal is one of their big ones. One of Anthem's big ones too. They use that one quite a bit. I think that, you know, the other one that I mentioned this to somebody a little bit ago, was like, even as big as they are, you saw, and I, like, this is what made me like really put it in perspective, was like, I was awake when UFC dropped the Paramount Plus news at like 5 a.m. on a Monday morning. Even that was on a press release. So why am I thinking that TNA is going to, that's much smaller, is going to do something different?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They did that. They did that recently with Zuffa as well. When they did the Zuffa boxing, they announced that just through a press release, and then they commented on it and all the stuff afterwards. But
yeah. So I think really, like, we're the ones to blame, like, and probably you and me specifically for pushing that out there. And I was pumped because, you know, you and I talked to some folks, maybe not like folks in TNA, but I think, you know, just folks around media. And you and I, like, you know, would you agree that you're of the opinion that that deal is signed and done?
Yeah. I'm pretty,
we don't know that for a fact, but we got a pretty good feeling, right? Gerard, are you there? Oh man, we're talking TV deal stuff, and I think Gerard dropped off.
Oh man, you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Like, what I was saying is, hey, do you think that it's done? That the TV deal is done?
Yeah, I think it's done. I think it's a done deal.
And if you were a betting man,
I don't know that for sure, but
No.
Educated guess is that it's a done deal.
Yeah, so I think I've talked to enough people and you've talked to enough people that everybody seems to be on the same page. They're like, we all think that it's probably done, that deal is done. And then in fact, Sean Ross Sapp on Fightful Select put out a story that the talent said that they expect to hear an announcement soon. So I'm like pretty confident that deal is done. If we're betting men, I'm going to pick a channel. You pick a channel. What are we thinking? Oh man, I think we lost Gerard again. I might have to let Gerard go soon.
As soon as you said, if we're betting, man, you cut out on my end.
Okay. What channel do you think it's going to be on, dude?
I think it's going to be on the CW. I think it makes the most sense with like the you know, partnership with WWE and the synergy and everything they got going on there. Because look at how much WWE hyped or CW hyped up just doing that Showdown show. Like it was on. Their social media was all over it. And I'm talking the CW now. Like their CW is all over it. Their PR was all over it. NXT social media was all over it. It was crazy to see NXT social media hyping Bound for Glory last night, by the way. That never seems like it's real, even, you know, 8-10 months later. But I think CW makes the most sense just with the constant. And we've gotten multiple reports from, you know, the guys at Body Slam said this, and then Fightful Select said it. This is going to be a long-term partnership with NXT or WWE. So,
yeah, that makes the most sense to me because I feel like TNA being on NXT so much is like their way of introducing the TNA characters to the CW network. Right. And that way, whenever they do introduce Impact, the TV show, they're not doing it cold. So that makes sense to me. Now, like the date is going to be up in the air. It looks like they're going dark for a little while. We don't know that for a fact. At one point we thought maybe they'd be, you know, taping from the PC, but that, I don't know if that's going to happen. They're doing a rerun or a clip show this coming up week. So, you know, I originally had thought that maybe they would be going live on CW or live on a new station on November 13th, but Carlos is saying 2026, although that could be a swerve, and maybe it is November 13, but that is all going to remain to be seen, and we don't know what's going to go on for the next month, man. It looks like they might be going dark. They got nothing on the schedule, or they might just pop up at the PC. We have no idea. But Gerard, what did you think of Bound for Glory as a whole, like overall? What was your favorite part about it? What was your least favorite part about it?
So I was feeling a certain way last night when I was watching it live, and then I kind of went to bed quickly after it, and I woke up and I'm kind of like, well, maybe this isn't quite as bad as I, you know, originally was saying that it was. But my favorite part was there's a tie between Macklin getting his international title back and then Santana finally winning the big one. It still wouldn't have topped the anniversary with him winning it in the hometown crowd, but Santana winning it was right up there.
Yeah. I thought that was like, if they didn't end the show with Santana winning the title, it was probably going to go down as one of the worst shows in history. Just because,
yeah,
not that they didn't have a couple good matches, because they did, but they had some pretty bad finishes that marred the show. And they had a couple of really bad matches that also marred the show. So it's like, without that sending the crowd home happy, it was probably on its way to being one of the worst shows ever.
Yeah, it's. They knew what they had to do to finish that show off, and they did it. So it saved it a little bit.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, hey, it sounds like you got dad duty on the horizon. I'm gonna go ahead and let you go, brother. Thanks for calling in.
I mean, I'm out here running around with her in the yard. It's not too big a deal, but.
Cool, man. No problem. Hey, thanks for calling in, and we'll get you back on another time soon. Okay.
All right, buddy. Sounds good.
All right. Later.
Later.
All right. That was Gerard from BodySlam.net. Big new distribution deal, Gerard. Man, we've been covering this stupid TV deal story literally since 2021, and he and I were talking about it this morning, and he was like, "Why did we think that?" It was going to be on Bound for Glory. And I was like, well, they never said that. I think just enough people thought that it became a thing, but I don't think there was ever actually explicitly said that was going to happen. So I'm not mad at them for not announcing it last night. I do think the deal is done, and I do think it's going to be on CW. And now we just wait and see if it actually happens. So there's a lot going on. Guys in the chat, I'm going to post a link in here. If anybody wants to call in, go ahead. If not, I will run the show. But let me get to the chat. We got Billy from Philly, who's actually in Boston Airport. What's up, Billy? Gibster says, best Bond for Glory in years. And Dre from Chicago says, calls him a cop, and now they're arguing. Now they're fighting. Online, that is big news. I'm not going to say it out loud, but yep, that is big news. Okay. All right. And Gerald says, do you think Danny Luna will take the title from Kalani? I think she would be the only one in TNA that's capable of being a world champion right now, for sure. After what I saw in that match. So, because it certainly isn't Indy Hartwell. She's terrible. Ash is retired, essentially. So, yeah, I would say the only person that could do it, like, you can't put it on Tessa. She's toxic. You just can't do it. So I would think that the only person you could do it with would be Danny Luna, unless they hire some new people. All right. Let's see. Plethora, thanks for waiting for Raw to end. You know what's so funny is I didn't know Raw was on in the morning today. And the reason why JD and I had agreed to do this show during the day is because we didn't want to go, like, we didn't want to wait for Raw to end in the evening. So I originally planned to do this at like 10 p.m. tonight, but I was like, Raw's going to be on. So we don't want to go on against Raw, and the Monday Night Football's on. And so we wanted to be able to maximize the audience. So I said, well, look, you know, I'm working from home and you're off. Let's just do it during the day. And we had agreed that. And then, you know, his wife, I tagged him in on a soccer thing for his son. And he's like, oh man, I can't do it. Unless we do it late tonight. And I was like, I can't do it late tonight, you know. Unless we wanted to do it like around like dinner time, my time. I was like, it's just not going to work. So, but little did I know that Raw was on in the morning. Shows how much I'm paying attention. I knew they were in Australia, but I didn't know that they were still in Australia. So, all right. Online man likes Kalani Jordan. There you go. All right. And then yep, Dre's a big fan there too. All right. Gerald says, I need TNA to get a TV deal in South Africa. I haven't watched the show and probably seen they did the YouTube free show. I didn't know that they weren't on TV in South Africa. I thought they were, but it looks like they haven't been on since 2022. Oh, all right. So there you go. And S-Bub says, Collar Shot Gauntlet was a bad match with a terrible finish. At least Javon and Leon was awesome match before the terrible finish. Yeah. So I'm going to get to all these finishes and my overall thoughts on the show here in a sec. But, you know, one of the big news bits from the show was the attendance record. I told you guys last week, I was like, if they get anywhere close to 7, they're announcing they broke that attendance record, because they've been putting it out there for weeks now that they were wanting to do it. Like, this was their goal. Now what they've done is they've set up this expectation that they're going to reach this goal. And if they don't get it, they're going to be seen as failures. So what they do is, if they get anywhere close, like nobody has access to the data, you can just say it, right? But when you're looking at the show, you see the empty seats. it's like we can see you guys. Like, now it's a big crowd. There's a lot of people there. And the truth was probably very impressive. Anywhere from 6 to 6,500. And if they would have announced that would have been a big deal. But because they set up the expectation that they have to beat Slammiversary, they have to go in and announce that they broke the record. And now nobody believes it. Now people, when it comes to TNA, people are going to assume failure no matter what, right? So there is that section of the audience, like a lot of them are AEW like sickos, and or they covered TNA when they were at their peak and how often they would shit the bed, and like it became like a whole thing. And now it's like sport hating on TNA. I get that. But here I am. I feel like I'm a pretty reasonable guy. And I see WrestleTix put out a number like, you know, a little over 6,000. I was like, okay, you know, that's, you know, hours before bell time with walk up. They could probably get up to about 65. So I was like, it's like, you know, anywhere from 6 to 6,500. That's a good day at the office if you're TNA. A couple years ago, they were having trouble getting 1,000. In fact, they did 6 shows in Cicero Stadium in Chicago a couple years ago. And those 6 shows combined probably didn't beat this singular show. Right. Like that's a good, so if they would have just put out the truth, if they'd have put out the truth, I think that would have been good. But instead, now look, do I have any evidence they're lying? Of course not. All I have is my eyes. it's like, I have my eyes and I have crowd shots from people that were there. Look, it's a 10,000 seater. And so they were blocking off sections anyway, cause they only had it set up for a certain amount. But, so that isn't really indicative of like it being less than 7,000, but I'm like looking at like just watching in the ring, and there's scattered empty seats all over the arena. So I was like, you can't tell me that you got 7,800 in that place. Like, I just don't believe it. Right. And no, like the only people that believe it are the people that already wanted to believe it. Right. And like, and no matter what TNA says, they're going to accept it as truth. They're going to accept it as fact. Right. I wish I could live my life like that, just believing things that people tell me at face value, but I just, you know, especially when it comes to pro wrestling companies, like they're full of it, they're consistently full of it. And TNA is no different, right? But if you're one of those, it's like, oh, well, you know, wrestling company said it, it must be true. Like, I want to believe it, so it's true. It's like, okay, well, go ahead. Like, I'm happy for you. I just can't do it. It's like, I feel like I live in reality. And I can't look at that crowd and say that was 7,800 people. I can't look at the pictures of the crowd shots. I can't talk to the people that were there. And then come away thinking that they broke the record from Slammiversary, which was very likely not the number, the real number either. And we just saw it happen with All In, you know, Brandon Thurston, and because that was a publicly like brokered deal in Arlington, Texas, where they were getting a tax incentive, the real number has to come out. And Brandon Thurston was able to get the real number. And it was like, I think it turned out to be significantly less than what AEW had reported. I think they had like a little over 21,000 in the building, which is insane, right? Which that like the truth is awesome. The truth is very good. But I think they said something like, you know, closer to 30. And it was like, oh, everybody's celebrating it. And then it turns out a few months later, it's like, okay, well, the truth is still really good, but it's not as good as what you guys said it was. And so now we don't trust you, right? WWE lies about their attendance. They've always lied about their attendance. Vince McMahon used to call it the entertainment number. And that's what I see this attendance for Bound for Glory. I don't buy it for a second. And if anybody from TNA wants to hit me up in my DMs and give me the gate receipts, I'd be happy to take those. But I don't believe it. Unless somebody wants to provide me some evidence, I'm not going to believe it. Because I I believe my eyes more than I believe your words, unfortunately, especially when it comes from wrestling promoters. Like, they lie by nature. Like, it's, they have to lie. Like, the entire business is one giant lie, and they have to keep up with it, right? And they lie so much, even when telling the truth is probably easier and just as impressive, they feel the need to actually lie about it. It's like, bro, you don't have to lie to kick it. We don't need you to be like this. It is what it is. All right, we got a couple more chats. If anyone wants to throw down a super chat, feel free. Gerard, he's still here. He says the next big distribution deal. Yep, South Africa. Maybe that's the announcement. So when Len Asper made that tweet in 2021, and we were like going crazy for it, because, you know, we're thinking that that's like, oh, you know what? They had that, you know, partnership with AEW, and, you know, they just come off. I think it was like right around the time. I think Kenny Omega might have just dropped the title to Christian. It was like right around that time. And their fans are coming back, and they're getting ready to do Bound for Glory in Las Vegas at like Sam's Town Casino or something like that. But we're excited because, you know, they're finally having people come back to the shows. And we're thinking, it's like, okay. And, you know, Josh Alexander's getting ready, and maybe they got something. So he makes this big tweet in the middle of the night about a big new distribution deal coming. And so we go crazy, and we're like, okay, they're getting off Access. And they've upgraded. It's like, okay, the AEW friendship, partnership, whatever they want to call it, has paid off. Like, that's what we're all thinking. And sure enough, it ends up being a deal in Russia and in the Baltics and like Eastern Europe. It's just like, and then like they put out a press release. It was like a couple weeks later or something like that. And I reached out to somebody from PR. And not Ross Foreman, because he won't answer my emails, but somebody else. And they said, no, I don't think that was the deal. I think another deal's coming. I was like, okay, so I stayed on the story. And that deal never came. It literally just never came. They've been on Access since 2019. For 6 years, they've been on Access. And for 6 years, they haven't grown their television audience. Now they've grown their ticket buying audience with the help of the WWE partnership. They grow their app. They grew their app. So that's good, but they haven't, and they've grown, you know, as far as revenue, but the television watching audience, they haven't. I think that they will once they move over, which I assume is CW. I could be wrong. If it's not CW, you know, anything other than Peacock or Paramount's probably a letdown, unless they get on like FS1 or something like that. But anything like that, anything other than that is going to be a significant letdown. Let's see. Gerard says they shredded the credibility of whatever live show where they were said was sold out, and there were clearly open seats all over. So that was Rebellion, and that was like another controversy. Me and David Penzer got into it from that one. And what they did was, is they announced a sellout a couple days in advance, but tickets were still on sale. It's just like, it's like, guys, like, we can go to the website. We see the tickets are on sale. And someone's like, they opened up new seats. It's like, TNA didn't say they opened up new seats. They didn't announce that. There was never a time where that show was sold out. It just never happened. And so they lied about it, which if you're going to lie about being on, like being sold out of tickets, pull all the tickets that you have left on sale, go through with the lie, right? Or just don't lie. Just say, hey, we have limited tickets available. And then once you get to the live episode or the live show, then announce like while you're live on the air, when you can't actually go and access another ticket, then say that you've sold out, right? If you're going to lie about it. But they can't even lie straight. It's like, learn how to work, kids. All right. Oh, El Plethora said Shayna would be a good signing. Yeah, look, obviously I like Shayna. I think she's a really good wrestler. WWE never really fully got behind her. I think they only signed her because she was friends with Ronda. But then they ended up liking her after a while. But, you know, they eventually just moved on. You know, in hindsight, you know, she could have come in immediately and took the place of Ash by elegance. And then that would have been a big move if they would have done that. Because she had already started replacing Masha at a lot of the indie shows when Masha got canceled. So if Shayna could have come in she could have come in immediately and killed somebody and become the champion. I don't think anybody would have scoffed at that. She's a well-liked person. She's a good wrestler, good worker. I've met Shayna, really nice. Met her in Afghanistan, super nice person, right? I think everybody would have been happy by that, but they didn't do that. They went with no one doesn't like Lonnie. They went with Lonnie Jordan, of all people, whom I learned of whenever she debuted. So there you go. All right, let me go ahead and I think that was all the news that had come out of the show. Obviously, Elijah returned. We'll get into that once we get to that part of the show. We got some new champions. We got other stuff happening. Okay, Bound for Glory pre-match, the Inspiration retained. So the Inspiration's contracts were due, and by them retaining the titles, it makes me think they're sticking around. Like, that makes sense. Which I thought they were sticking around anyway. I don't see them going back to the Fed. I don't. They had their run there. They were pretty over, but that's just an act that WWE's never going to get behind. That's an easily replaceable act, I think. Like, they can just put a couple other people in that same spot and do it. I don't think they'll have the charisma that these two have, but anyway, they defeat the Elegance Brand, and they got to keep the Knockouts tag titles. Boston Celtics radio voice Sean Grande narrated a BFG video pay. So Sean Grand, I always called him Sean Grand. He did some MMA back in the day, and I know he's a big pro wrestling fan. So this is cool. Like, that's a, like, if you're a Boston sports fan, that's a pretty big deal. Narrated a BFG video package to open the show. So I'll be honest, I didn't watch the Hall of Fame stuff. I'll have to watch it later. I'm going to do another stream later in the week, and I will talk about it. So Steve Macklin came out first and had a moment with his mother. Oh, so hold on, before that, Mackenzie Mitchell was a ring announcer. Mackenzie introduced the U.S. Marine Color Guard, and the national anthem played. Which pretty, like, I think Steve Macklin was stationed in the area at one point, and he's got a lot of ties to that area. And sure enough, he comes out, and then his mom is in the crowd. And so he had a moment with his mom, Frankie Kazarian. He then followed, and then Macklin hit Kazarian with a suicide dive. So Kazarian and Macklin was like a pretty good, like, WCW Saturday Night 1996 main event show. Like, it was our main event match. It was like 10 minutes, not a lot of gaga, just two really good pro wrestlers having a good pro wrestling match, and not endless kickouts, nothing like that. No horseshit, just Macklin hits his finish, and that was it. And he got his belt back, which I predicted, by the way. So far I'm 2-0 now. So I predicted, if you go back to my prediction show, I predicted the Inspiration. And then I predicted that Steve Macklin would get the belt back. And why did I predict that? Is because I thought Frankie Kazarian was going to be chasing Santana for the world title. Because Santana, we have a babyface champion. We need to set up challengers, right? And so we got Kazarian dropping the international championship. Why did he win it in the first place? I think Vinny said it on the Brian and Vinny show. I think, and he might be right, they wanted Kazarian on Showdown with the title. So they flipped it because they wanted Kazarian and they didn't want Steve Macklin. They wanted Kazarian on there. So they flipped it. And then Steve Macklin has to win it back in front of kind of essentially a home crowd to give him a nice moment in front of his mom. So I think it worked out. And like, the international title can flip back and forth. Like, you can hot potato that thing, and that's fine. Steve Macklin's a great wrestler. Both these guys are really good. After the match, Carlos Silva enters the ring and presented the belt to Macklin. So Carlos Silva and Triple H both trying to be Dana White. They're both doing this whole gimmick of putting the belt on the champion. So there you go. But a solid match to start the show. Bound for Glory host Gabby LaSpiza stood backstage and introduced TNA champion Trick Williams, who was accompanied by his lawyer. Trick and his lawyer said, Trick wears the TNA belt upside down because he turned the company upside down. Trick told Mike Santana that TNA doesn't belong to the man with the best story. He said it belongs to the man who is best for business, hitting the old Triple H and Stephanie line. And then we get to a couple of the backstage things happen. Then we get to the next match. It's Tessa versus Gia Miller. Not good. Which, like, Gia's not a full-time wrestler. So I don't think anybody thought that this was really going to be good. So I don't think anybody could be disappointed. Like, if you went into this match knowing that it probably wasn't going to be that good, you're like me. You're just like, oh, you're fine. But Tessa had to cheat to win, which doesn't make any sense because Gia Miller is an announcer. But at some point, Gia Miller's going for a powerbomb. Tessa pulls the turnbuckle pad off, grabs a fistful of quarters, and then clocks Gia Miller and gets the pin in 6 minutes. So there you go. Like, I don't think the crowd was really all that into it. It just, you know, it wasn't very good. Next up is the 20, well, it was supposed to be 20 people, but I think they had more because of the Rascals decided that they all want to be in there. So 20 person Call Your Shot gauntlet. The first entrant was Lei Ying Li, and then followed by Mara Shade. I am not going to do a play by play of this whole match. I'll give you some highlights. Nick Nemeth was over as a babyface, but he tried to get over as a heel. So there you go. Rich Swann. So I had talked about Rich Swann. He had returned to the company over the summer at some point, whenever KC Navarro got hurt. So they brought Rich Swann back. He's in incredible shape. They brought him back, and then it turns out he had booked dates elsewhere that conflicted with TNA. So they brought him back too early to do the angle. So they brought him back, and then he has to leave for like a month or two, and we don't see or hear from him. I'm thinking like, okay, maybe they brought him back and decided it wasn't a good fit and he's gone now. But here he is. Now he's back, and he's back doing the whole gimmick with First Class with AJ Francis. I thought that First Class should have been the tag team champions coming into Bound for Glory and not the Hardys. I thought the Hardys should have dropped it, but I have a theory on why the Hardys still have it. So there you go. AJ Francis came out. I thought he was pretty good in the match. He's a really good heel. All the Rascals ended up entering into the match. So at one point, Zach Clayton from the new FBI, like he was around a couple years ago. He has a tag team partner. Can't remember his name. They were impressive, I thought. And I was like, okay, it's not an original tag team name, but we have like an original homegrown tag team here. And they come out and they do a couple matches, they lose, and then we just don't see them again. And then all of a sudden this guy is back. I'm like, why is he back? What's the deal? Like, is he now back or what? But he came out with a little Guido wearing the FBI gimmick, but he didn't have his FBI tag team partner. He just had his FBI manager. So what's going, like, did they run? I don't understand why they had him in the match. I'd be curious to see if this guy ever comes back again. I have no idea what's going on with him, but I think he's married to Jay Wow. So there you go. Okay. So Jody Threat's coming out, and she goes around the ring. Kazarian, who just lost his international title, clocks her, knocks her out of the match, and then bullies Santino into letting him in the match. Santino, who is the worst goddamn general manager in the history of general managers, after getting bullied, says, yes, you can go in there. And then he is the number 18th entrance. What was Santino going to do had he won this thing? Was he going to screw over one of his chants? Like, it makes no sense for him to be in the match. He was in the match to do this gimmick. And, like, that spot could have went to somebody more productive, I thought. Now, it did get a pop. Like, Santino's very popular. I just thought the whole thing was stupid. The match is stupid. We got to really rethink how we do this match. But, and I have a couple of ideas that I'll get to in a minute. But, Frankie Kazarian is, you know, through the middle and top rope, and he's yelling at somebody and not paying attention on purpose. And Santino gets his Cobra sock on and does the Cobra to him, lays him out, but he goes through the middle and top rope. He doesn't go over the top rope. So Frankie is like, you know, doing the Jerry Lawler thing where he's on the floor the whole time. Santino walks right in. He immediately gets eliminated, breaking his original Royal Rumble record. Mance Warner come out. He was looking cool, man. He came out with a bunch of zombies. I thought he looked great. I thought Steph was awesome. I thought the whole, like, I think the zombie guys might have been some homeless people. Possibly. That's what it looked like to me. But I thought the whole gimmick was cool. And it just reminds me that Mance Warner is a guy that I think should be signed if he's not already, and he should be around for a while. So Cardona was alone in the ring with a Nemus, and Nick accidentally superkicked his brother off the apron. Cardona tossed Nick over the top rope, but he skinned the cat. Cardona ran the ropes, only to have Delander grab his foot. Warner joined Delander in pulling Cardona over the rope to the floor to eliminate him. So maybe we're going to have a Mance Warner Matt Cardona feud should the TV show ever return. Kazarian returned to the ring and joined Nick as the final two. There was a superplex spot that led to a double pin. So the double pin was stupid. Everybody's chanting bullshit. So this was the first time in the night they decided to go ahead and give the fans a crap finish. So now we have dual winners. It is so stupid. It's not going to get over. It is just cheesy cornball WWE horseshit that not even WWE would do. It's like, so you you think the WWE would have done something this stupid already? This sounds like something they would do, but they've never done it. So TNA's like, well, hold on. You guys think you can be stupid? We can one up your stupidity by doing the dumbest stupid thing that they could have possibly done, which has had a double pin at the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. So now we have dual winners, Nick Nemeth and Frankie Kazarian. So there you go. Good job. Good job, Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer. Good job, Delirious. Idiots. And then next we go to the worst freaking match of all time. It is right up there among the worst matches in TNA history. It is Kalani Jordan versus Indy Hartwell. Indy Hartwell wrestles like a baby deer that just learned how to walk. She got two left feet. Doesn't know what she's doing. The match is terrible. I'm hoping that Kalani won because they've given up on Hartwell completely. Doesn't know what she's doing. I think there's probably wrestlers that have been wrestling for 6 months that are way better than her. She's been in the ring for 9 years. She's just completely lost in there. Has no idea what she's doing. She can hit like moves every now and then, but like she didn't know what she's doing. it's like one of the worst wrestlers I've ever seen. It's like, how does she keep getting jobs? I don't really understand. I don't understand the appeal. I don't get it. Like, this can't continue, right? Like, she can't keep wrestling. A bunch of botches. Just like, no, it was just super bad. But Kalani Jordan won. And where do they go next? I'm thinking, it's like, why do they keep the title on Kalani? I'm hoping it's because they just think Indy's really bad. Or they just want to keep the title alive and knowing they're going dark for a month, they're going to have it defended on NXT television. Where should they go next? Obviously, Danny Luna would be the top choice, but I don't trust them to be able to make a good decision like that. I thought Danny Luna was one of the more impressive people in the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. So it makes sense to me, but you know, who the fuck am I? So, all right. So now let's get to the hardcore war. All right. I'll be honest. I had been calling it the hardcore bore for months. Ever since I heard it announced, I don't like the idea of the match. A war games without a cage, not a good idea. And doing this where they're bringing out everybody in intervals on the same night that they're doing a Royal Rumble, also not a good idea. However, I underestimated the talent in this match. Everybody in this match was really good. And I thought it was a fantastic match. It was bloody, which I didn't think they were doing anymore, so that was cool. Like, John Skyler was bloody. It had barbed wire. It had the thumbtacks. It had all the horseshit. But I thought it was a really good freaking match. And then Mustafa Ali is one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. I know that might be me being a TNA homer. Maybe. But, I mean, he carried Ethan Page to like a 4.5 to 5-star classic, depending on like who you are on Wednesday. And then he came out and he was by far the best wrestler in this match. And I think the money is going to be in Mustafa Ali and Santana returning to their feud. And I think at some point they got to move that title over to Ali and have Santana chase Ali. I think that's where the money's at. Like, we gave Santana his money, get him a nice little reign, you know, 4 to 6 months, flip it over to Ali. And I think Ali needs to take his rightful spot at the top of this company as the top heel. And in my opinion, the best wrestler in the company. He's that good. And then I'd like to see at some point next year, Mustafa Ali and Leon Slater headlining a pay-per-view. Right. I think that's where you go. The system won. I'm not going to go through the play-by-play because it was a long match. And I called it, and I was like, why is the system going to win? Well, A, they're baby faces. They're in Boston area. It made sense to have Eddie Edwards, get the pin here. And he did with the Boston Tea Party when his leg was wrapped in barbed wire. And but I also was like, they're going to pin Ali because I'm pretty sure Ali's getting a title shot. And you're probably thinking to yourself, Mike, that doesn't make any sense. And you're right. It doesn't make sense. This is TNA. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to make sense for them to do it. And they're going to beat Ali here, and they're going to push him towards the title shot, and they're going to act like this match never happened. it's just what they do, right? They beat guys right before they push them to the title match. I don't know why. It makes no sense. It's not conventional booking, but look who's booking. Idiots are booking. So there you go. All right. Now let's get to, what would have been not only match of the night, but one of the better matches in TNA history. Leon Slater versus Javon Evans. I don't want to go full Brian Alvarez mode here because he already did it. And I'm sure Joel Pearl on his show last night had a lot of fun with this. I am going to hit some of the same talking points that Brian hit because I agree with them and I think they're important. They didn't need to do the screw job finish. They didn't. Either one of these guys could get pinned and it's totally fine. Now, if NXT doesn't want to, I think Javon Evans is going to the main roster. And so they probably don't want to put the X Division title on him because he's going to the main roster maybe sooner rather than later. He's been on SmackDown a lot lately. So maybe that's why. I don't know for a fact. I'm just trying to like make sense of it, like why they would do this. I thought he was going to win because Leon Slater pinned him in on NXT, but they didn't do that. So, okay, that's fine. Javon Evans could have taken a loss here. He loses all the time. Leon Slater could have beat him clean and that wouldn't be a big deal, but they didn't do that. So they had one of the best X Division matches of all time. It goes to a 20-minute time limit draw. If they'd ended it right there, would have been disappointing. But I think people would have been like, okay, still, that was a good match. Like AEW has done, like they have used that several times when they don't want to beat either guy, but they still want to have the match, they do a time limit draw. And they have a great match up until the time limit hits. Now, a 20-minute time limit is not normal. And so I think that's why people throw a flag on it. Like, I don't think I've ever heard them call for a 20-minute time limit in a pay-per-view X Division title match. Like, it's never been a thing. But they did it here. It's like, okay, that's fine. And then Santino comes out to give them 5 more minutes. And, like, that place was rocking. Like, this match had so much heat. They had so much heat, like, right before the bell. Even, like, when Leon Slater did his entrance, half of the people didn't know who he was. But he got in the ring. And once they took a look at this kid, like, oh, my God. And they see these two guys staring at each other. It's like everybody in the crowd knew we were about to see something special, right? They could feel it. And these guys had, in my opinion, a main event heavyweight world title match, but in X Division style. In X Division style. It was tremendous. It was unbelievable. They go to the 20-minute time limit draw. Santino comes out, gives them 5 more minutes. Place goes crazy. And they start hitting move after move after move. The place is just rocking, and then it goes dark, and we get Dark State. And they go for heat. This kind of heat doesn't draw. It really drives people away. Like nobody wants that, right? They could have just pinned either guy, and it would have been fine. And if they don't want Javon to be the X Division champion going forward, then just have Javon lose. He's fine. He loses all the time. He just lost 3 days ago. It's no big deal. He literally loses every week. Here's where I think they're going with it. I think NXT wants Leon Slater and Javon as a tag team. So I think they're going to transition them over into being a tag team. And how do they get there? They got there by doing this, by having Dark State come attack them for literally no reason. There is no issue between Dark State and Leon and Javon Evans that I know of. In fact, if Dark State had heat with anybody, it would have been the Hardy Boys, who just took their tag team titles a few days ago. So clearly, I think they're going to, you know, Leon Slater's going to be on NXT going forward as the X Division champion. And him and Slater, him and Javon are going to be a tag team on NXT. I don't think that's going to trickle over to the main roster. I think Javon will do main roster stuff as just by himself. And then eventually, and I think this is Ibu's idea, and I like this, I think that it would be smart to do the Hardy Boys versus Javon and Leon Slater and have Leon and Javon win the tag team, win the NXT and the TNA tag titles, and have them as the double champions. And that way you have one guy from TNA, one guy from NXT, and they're holding all the belts. I think that would make a lot of sense. They'll have to move the X Division title off of Leon to get there, but I think that's what they're going to do. And it appear like John Alba didn't report this, but he tweeted that it very much looks like a Shawn Michaels decision. I think Shawn wants Leon and he wants Javon as a tag team on NXT. And that's where they're going with this. And they can get to them. They can get to the match later. I just thought it was a waste. They can get there other ways. Like you can do a more creative way to get there without sending your fans home disappointed. Like this deflated a lot of the people. Like this was the match everybody was looking forward to the most. And they purposely gave them shit to send them home disappointed, because they think that there's going to be this heated match with Dark State, and that's just not true. Like, that's not going to happen. Dark State sucks. We saw them a couple of nights ago on NXT. They're terrible. They're not good pro wrestlers. Not yet. They're not there yet. Maybe in a couple of years they will be, but right now they're not. They're terrible, and nobody wants to see the fucking match. So you sent people home disappointed, and it's not going to lead to a goddamn thing that anybody's going to care about, when you could have gotten there a different way. You don't need to do something like this if you want to make Slater and Evans a tag team. There's many other ways to get there. But this is how they chose, and it was stupid, and it really killed the show. If this holds up, right, if this holds up and you get a clean victory, we're now like taking like a show that was like okay to bad to like pretty good, right? And then, especially knowing what's coming up after it, like with the main event, that's a big thumbs up show. But because they did this, you just can't get there. You can't, like, there's no formula where you can get to like, okay, that was a thumbs up show. You just can't do it. All right, so a big way. But you know, look, it's TNA. This is what they do. They're stupid. They don't know what they're doing. And if this is Shawn Michaels' idea, he's stupid too, cockeyed prick. Like, they're fucking idiots. Let me get you Jason Powell's POV. He said, why? This isn't a random edition of Impact or TNA Plus show. This is the company's biggest event of the year. The heat wasn't on Dark State. It was on the company for pulling the rug out from under fans with a terrible finish to an otherwise sensational big spot match. On the bright side, I guess this means we'll see a rematch at some point. I'm sure we will, but probably in NXT. I'm not so confident it's going to happen in TNA. Literally nobody wins in this situation. There is no way they come out of this looking good. Okay. Terrible. And then Chris Bay comes out. That was awesome. So we go from that, like the heartbreak, and then we see Chris Bay come out. And then, unfortunately, Chris Bay's put in the spot where he has to lie to everybody and say that the TNA's new North American record is now 7,794. I don't believe that for one second. but it was actually smart to have Bay do it, because you can't get mad at Bay. Like, you just can't. Even before the injury, you just can't get mad at the guy. He's too nice. Too good of a person. Hold on just a sec. Yeah, there's just no way. Okay. Then we get a video package. We're getting to the next match. It's a Team 3D, also known as the Dudley Boys. I think they called them both. They're dressed in camo, classic Dudley Boys gear. WWE Dudley Boys. They didn't do the tie-dye stuff that the ECW gear. They went with WWF Dudley Boys. Then out comes Brother Runt, a.k.a. Spike Dudley, comes out. That was cool to see him. I haven't seen him in a long time. Spike gave Bully Ray and Devon the glasses, and they had to ringside. Big ECW champ broke out. You know, for a tag team that did not make Joe Lanza's top 100, the Dudley Boys sure are over. So say what you want about the Dudley Boys, but everywhere they go, they've always been over. And when they've been heels, they've been like really effective heels, and they've always done a pretty good job of getting their baby faces over. And I think Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy were more over because they worked with the Dudley Boys when they did. Because the Dudley Boys did a really good job of helping them get to where they needed to get. I think they went up another level when they started working with the Dudley Boys. But then we get to this match. So the Hardys come out, and the Hardys are like mega stars. I mean, the Hall of Famers, in my opinion. Whenever I submit my Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame ballot, they're going to be on it, and I'm going to stay with them until they get in. I'm pretty sure TNA had anywhere from 6,000 to 6,500 in the building, and I would say four of them came because of the Hardy Boys. And we saw that in the main event, and I'll get to that in a minute. But as far as the match goes, look, this was not a classic match by any means. I didn't think it was a bad match either. The match had a ton of heat. The crowd was really freaking into it. They had the table spots and made everybody go crazy. Jeff got on top of the really tall ladder and did the classic swanton off of it. And he missed Devon Dudley, and he hit his own head hit the back of his head on the ladder. Jeff was crazy. That was a crazy spot. And then it ended whenever Bubba Ray Dudley was in the ring with the Hardys, and he realizes that the jig is up. You guys got me. He kind of essentially tapped out and allowed the Hardy Boys to put him through a table because he was exhausted and knew he was about to get beat. If you want to give it like 2.5, 3 stars, whatever, I know for a fact that the people in that building really enjoyed it. I grew up with the Hardys and Dudleys, so I didn't hate the match. Was it a classic match by any means? Of course not. But did I have fun watching it? I did. At certain points, I was real worried about Devon. He's really overweight, not moving around so well. Probably shouldn't have been cleared to be in the match considering he had a stroke a couple of years ago. I was worried about him taking that bump from Jeff off that ladder. I was like, that's not smart. But thankfully, Jeff missed him. maybe that was by design, was for Jeff to like completely whiff on him. But it was fun at times. It was tough at times. After the match, they do the big hug thing, and it was, kind of like they did the same thing that, Undertaker and Kane versus DX, and they did the whole long melodramatic hugging thing, and then the Dudley Boys took their boots off and handed them to the Hardys, and they left, and they kept pandering to the crowd and doing the slow turnaround, super dramatic stuff. I didn't eat it up, but I think people there ate it up, and I know probably some people watching it ate it up. I thought it took forever, and unfortunately it took so long while they were doing it. The Hardys are such big stars, and the Dudleys are part of this. Like, this was such a big match for the show. While this is going on, a lot of people started leaving. It's after 10 PM. You're in Lowell, Massachusetts. Most of the people came probably from Boston proper, and they know for a fact, it's like the goddamn traffic's going to be terrible. That's going to take me a while to get back home. So I'm just going to go ahead and skip this main event match because there's, it's at Santana and Trick Williams. I saw the Hardy Boys and I'm good to go now, which is not good for the people that put this show together. They definitely placed this match incorrectly. Should it have been the main event? No. Should they put it on earlier in the show? Yes, they should have. This was a middle of the card match. It did not mean to be the co-main. It was still the most promoted match of the show. It sold the most tickets, in my opinion. I think with this only being the only match announced, it was over 3,000 tickets. So it didn't need to be the co-main spot, but it was. So now we get to the main event, and then chat, I'm going to get to you guys. So we're going to keep it lively in the chat. So a video aired of the TNA's So they announced the TNA Genesis will be held in Dallas. No date, no venue, just the city. So if you want to go see TNA Genesis, buy a one-way ticket to Dallas and then just stay there until the show comes. So we don't know. We just know it's in 2026. And they also announced that they decided to take the week off and they're airing clips. So they're taking the week off. I'm not. I'll be back with a Brace for Impact at some point this week, but I'm not reviewing a clip show. Maybe I'll do a classic watch or something like that. Or if any news breaks, I'll cover the news. But I'm not doing a Brace for Impact watching clips of Bound for Glory. I'm not doing that. Mike Santana made his entrance to the crowd for the main event. Santana met up with Conan, and they shared a hug. That was cool. Then Santana held up the Puerto Rican flag while standing on the middle rope, and then Trick Williams comes out. Here's the problem with Trick Williams, and I like Trick. I know that's a bad thing to say on this network. Trick is not popular with Rich. So he didn't like Trick. I think Trick's great. Okay, but here's the problem with him being in TNA. He's a cool heel, and he was only a heel to half the audience, but the loudest part of the audience saw him as a babyface, and he comes across as a big star. I think that he was essentially done with his NXT run, but they didn't quite want him to the main roster just yet, so they sent him to TNA, and then he does great in TNA, right? Comes across as a big-time main eventer in TNA. And had a really good run from, you know, July to October. I think he's probably primed and ready to get on that main roster now. So we'll see. But I thought this was a really good match. Unfortunately, a lot of people left during, like, before the match came on. So you're like, I wouldn't say half, but I would say a good, like, maybe a quarter of the building just emptied out. And, you know, it's late. They're ready to go home. And they didn't care enough to stay to watch this match. And that sucks because this is Santana's crowning moment, which should have come in New York. But here you are, you do it in Boston. He's a New Yorker, so he's already got heat with the audience. It's up against Trick one-on-one. And Trick's a babyface to most of the people. And so the psychology was not great there. If they crowned him in New York, it would have been a bigger moment for Mike Santana. Now, the match was really good. I really enjoyed the match. Had we not had the screwjob finish in the X Division match, I think you get this match. That's a big thumbs up from me for sure. You get, like, I don't need 10 good matches on the show. I don't. I think if you have 10 good matches, then none of them really fucking mean anything. I think if you have 3 to 4 good matches, you tell some stories, you know, like that's a pretty good show to me, right? I don't need every match to be a kickout classic. That's just not me. But, you know, you have this match, you have the Hardcore War, you have the X Division title match, and then, you know, Macklin and Frankie was a good match, but it wasn't like I'm not going to tell people to go out of the way to watch it. It's just not that good, but it's still, like, pretty. It was a good professional wrestling match. So by the end of the night, you're like, yeah, that's a pretty good show. But they screwed you over with the X Division match, and they screwed you over with the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. Too much. They just can't get out of their own way. But, and then they misplaced... They misplaced the Dudley Boys match, the Hardys and Dudleys. That should have been earlier in the show. I would have put that right after the Call Your Shot Gauntlet, for sure. Let's go to the end here. Trick wound up, but Santana rolled him into a pin for a two count. Santana rolled him up for another two count. They took turns throwing kicks at one another, and then Santana hit the spin the block for a good near fall. Trick's arm was on Santana after he kicked out, which led to another two count. Hannafin said no one had kicked out of the spin the block since Santana returned to TNA. Trick's lawyer showed up at ringside and mouthed off as Santana pulled him into the ring and hit him with a spin the block. Trick used that moment to catch Santana with a trick shot and covered him for another good near fall. Santana avoided another trick shot. Santana came back with two more spin the block clotheslines and then got the three count. There was a time where they got me thinking that Trick was going to win. There was a couple moments where I'm like, oh, shit. This, like, the lawyer spot is like, okay, this is typical TNA. Like, we don't want people to be happy watching our show. We just want to get our rocks off by creating fake heat that doesn't work. So lawyer comes in, distracts Santana. I thought that was it. I bit. I'm a mark. So Mike Santana gets the win in 16 minutes to win the TNA World Championship, his first ever world title. Santana's daughter was shown applauding, and then all of a sudden, Nick Nemeth's entrance theme played. He starts walking towards the ring with the trophy. The lights went out, and when they turned on, Elijah had returned. As you remember, on Thursday, they put Elijah back on the injury report, so that was foreshadowing for this moment, which I did bring up on Thursday. He hits Nemeth over the head with a guitar. And then we get some more chicanery, and Frankie Kazarian's in the ring, and he's trying to cash in the trophy, but he doesn't have the trophy physically. Nemeth has the trophy, so he can't do it. He ends up getting laid out by Santana. It's just like we didn't need all this. Just go off the air with Santana holding the title. You're doing too much. You don't have to do this. It's so stupid. And Santana gets the belt, brings his daughter in the ring, and then that's how they go off the air. So I thought a strong main event with a really good ending. That I think that if you wanted to like the show overall, I think that probably drove you to it. But if you're a realist, you understand that a good 75% of the show just wasn't good. And like, you got to see some really good wrestling. You got to see some really bad finishes. You didn't really get any good surprises or nothing like that. You did get to see a historic moment with the Dudley Boys essentially retiring right in front of your eyes. So if that was important to you, then there you go. But yeah, so like overall, I would say like a thumbs down show because of the really bad finishes on it. I just can't get past it. Thankfully, I'm a pirate. Didn't pay. So we're good there. All right, let me get to a couple of these chats and then we're going to send it home. All right, get back to the beginning here. All right, Billy says, how soon before Carlos Silva takes the bump? It's coming. It's coming. And he also says, looks like Gia will be a wrestler. She didn't come out like an announcer, music gear. Yeah, I don't know. They only gave her 6 minutes. I don't know if she's going to be a wrestler. Dre, big fan of Gia there. All right. Billy says, do you think that's the end of Rich Swann? I think BQ reported that Rich Swann's back now. He just had to finish up some dates. So Gerard says, hardcore war rocked. So there you go. Jay says Slater should have won clean. Yeah, you know what? I would have been fine with either guy winning clean. I just wasn't fine with what they did. Like, you can beat people. It's not that big deal. Jarrett said, my only thought of 50-50 booking after they split showdown victories, Kalani kept the KO title. They knew Santana was winning the world title back, so that's 1-1 for Santana. I think you're doing Steiner math. You're overdoing it. I think you're overdoing it. I don't think any of that really matters. I think they just want them to be a tag team. And so they decide, and they want to get back to that match eventually. So, Lucky Charm, they clearly didn't learn their lesson when they put the inaugural international championship match as the main event after the Hardys. Yeah, that was something that Brian Alvarez brought up, because he was in the audience whenever Macklin won the international title, and right before that was the Sammy Callahan-Mance Warner match, and that went on so long and wore the audience out, everybody thought that was the main event. People just left. And then so you got poor Macklin there winning the title in front of like 150 people when there was about 2,000 before his match started. So they waited 2 years to put the title on Mike just to immediately torment us with the gauntlet bullshit. Like, come on. Yeah. Yeah. So terrible. Gibson Smart. So is next week a live TNA? This coming up week is nothing. Right now they got nothing on the books. So I can only go with what I see. And as of right now, it's probably going to be a taped like show as of right now. But they have not said anything. They need to tell people. So if they're going to be live next week, it's something you'd want to promote. But they're not saying anything because maybe they just don't know. Maybe it's up in the air. I don't know. I just don't get it. All right, guys, that is going to do it for us this week. This was kind of a hybrid Mike and JD show and a hybrid Brace for Impact. It was Brace for Impact on the Mike and JD show. My JD and I will be back at some point this coming up week, and I will do another Brace for Impact for the Patreon, of course. I just know which day, probably Thursday or Thursday or Friday, something like that. What I won't do is wait till 10 p.m. on Thursday after watching a clip show to recap a clip show. That's just not happening. So hopefully some news breaks and I get something to review and I'll do that. But yep, that is going to do it for me this time. And until next time, mahalo.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hey kids, Jeff Hawkins from Shake Them Ropes here, and for almost 15 years we have been part of Voices of Wrestling. Myself and Chris Novembrino give a review of that week's news, the lazy river of wrestling criticism of that week's WWE and AEW, and then Vader Club, where we watch something from one of our past, or something we may have missed. Smart, snarky, and sometimes serious, but not always. That's us, and if that's your vibe, we'd love to have you listen to Shake Them Ropes every week on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.